bowels of One Half Radio Plaza at Life Media Studios.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Real Country Radio.
Congratulations, Detroit. You can be thoroughly ashamed of yourself. The homicide toll has reached a nice even 750. Details on the latest leveling from Police Sergeant...
Coming up now, we're going to start off the set with...
In the morning.
It's 20 minutes before 12. The Hitless Tigers could use this guy's talents. Mount Clemens police have a 36-year-old man in custody. Seems he got home about 5 o'clock this morning from an all-night spree. That ticked off the little lady who unleashed a verbal barrage at the man. That apparently the last straw for him. He picked up his genuine Willie Mays Powerized Lightning Strike Louisville Slugger baseball bat. Proceeded to hit 1,000 on the woman's head.
Pull you up a chair and listen to this.
Dirty Hooker Diesel is your full-size diesel performance specialist in Harbor Beach. We're Michigan's final authority on anything performance and replacement related. Specializing in diesel performance parts and accessories for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke diesel engines. From custom-built transmissions and engines to CP3 pumps and injectors. Check them out at DirtyHookerDiesel.com.
Hi, this is Tony Burkett, owner of Dirty Hooker Diesel. We are a full-service repair facility that can handle any task from stock to modified, big or small, so give us a call. 989-479-0444. Dirty Hooker Diesel, the final authority on everything performance and replacement.
And welcome back to Sidetrack, powered by Dirty Hooker Diesel once again for 2018. Thank you to Tony and the gang coming on board as we continue on with our saga. Of course, we've been a little delinquent on shows. We're getting burned out. This is for our fun, and life happens, and we're trying to get back into it. Just bear with us as we get everything done. And changing up some things on our shows, we'll let you figure out what they are. But once again, thank you to, of course, Wade and Ryan Lalone of Diesel Freak up in Gaylord, Michigan for their sponsorship for 2018. Son Peak Oil, Ed Shoebridge, Pete Pesnick with Cap Brothers, and, of course, Brian Lively with The Hook and Pro Puller Magazine, our favorite magazines for the sport of pulling.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for their support. You know, great people. And, you know, we're always looking for more sponsors, but I'm not going to lie, and Charles, you'll agree with this. We are picky.
Oh, I like money.
Yep. But we are picky on who we support. If we're going to bring that brand to the table here,
I got
to
believe in the product.
Advertise them, it's because we believe in it. So thank you to all our sponsors once again. If you got business to do with them, make sure you tell them Sidetrack sent you. Wow, we got a lot of material since the last time we met. We haven't even covered UCC yet.
We're going to wait on that one, I think.
Yeah.
Not ready yet.
I'm not either. That was different this year.
I need that picture that Tanya took of Derek Rose's tire to stop going around on Facebook so damn much before I'll be ready to talk about it.
Yeah. No, UCC was good, but we'll recap that another day. But, you know, then we go up to Ottawa, Michigan. Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. You're driving for trees, you run into this one horse town, and they got a little, what is it, eighth mile?
Quarter mile asphalt.
And off to the one side, we've got a drag strip, so to speak, but not your conventional strip. No, it is an eighth mile strip.
Yeah.
But the very end, we got a hill.
Yeah, it's if you were to put real drag cars on it, it'd be much more of a launch ramp.
It'd be really cool.
Be exciting the first time.
Them Duke boys are at it again.
Factual fact.
Which reminds me, you see the picture on Facebook going around? It's a picture of a orange septic truck.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Orange septic truck with 02 painted on the side. And it says called the Dookie Boys.
Of course, because why wouldn't it?
Yes. I thought that was simply amazing. It has nothing to pertain to our conversation right now, but
oh my God,
we
who
got
cares?
Sidetracked. But no, we went Canadian-style semi-truck drag racing, and it was different.
Very different. I made the comment before leading up to it. I really wanted to see how they were going to do this as far as drive lines not just being... shrapnel, And I think my lasting impression of that is there's nothing special in the trucks at all.
No.
It's them driving. They are that good and that much mechanical sympathy, despite the aggression that is shown outwardly.
You know, I mean, you probably couldn't tell on the ground, but, you know, I got to ride Jacques Lafleur's truck, and it's still a standing impression with me. Him and Jeanette are just awesome people.
Riot.
They are crazy. They are fun. But, you know, riding with them is, you know, even the Class B trucks, they're starting on the high side of the trans, loaded.
Yeah, it's just insane. There's, on our Facebook page, there's in cab with Wade Lone's truck. And just even the procedure to get the truck to do a burnout requires the passenger, he's operating stuff on the dashboard just so Wade can get it lit up and going. Very, very impressive with, and it really was, the guys who broke stuff were the guys who hadn't done this before. It was the inexperienced guys who had breakage.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we finally got to our first class of loaded, which was, I believe, what we do, we did C loaded. Was
we did C in the rain.
C in the rain. But the first thing they talk, you know, is, hey,
some of the
where's
bees,
our
some
tube?
Of the bees
some
were
of the
rain
bees,
too.
But
yeah.
They go, we need chocks. I'm going, okay. And, you know, everybody's going, how are they not shattering drive lines? It's very simple. They chalk the rear tire of the trailer.
Yeah, the thing can't roll backwards. They're literally just sitting there with the clutch open, no brakes applied.
Yep. And they'll feed that clutch in, not only to build boost, but before they start building the boost, they feed it just enough to put that twist on the drive line to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, there's no gear lash that's going to grab or anything like that. You know, there's no slack in that drive line. That's how they're not tearing everything out, is there's already a load on it.
Yeah.
It's when they go slack, and that's what Wade said, is he goes, I forgot to draw up the clutch. He goes, I forgot to put the tension on that drive line. That's what shattered his yoke and dropped the drive shaft.
Yeah, and he did that while loaded. It wasn't on the bobtail.
No.
Yeah, there's a definitely a science to the driving. Having seen it now, I know next year you and I are going to be a lot better prepared. We know what questions to ask now are dangerous and can bring a different style of show. And yeah, with the preloading that goes on, we were doing this as a no time event, but the clocks can tell us those things. And I think next year we're going to ask for them to be activated because there's a relevance there being in Michigan with Motor City and drag racing. Whereas the Canadians don't really, it's not about that. They don't care. But the Michigan fans, I think, do. You're going to see reaction times that, if you're used to watching drag racing, are going to be pathetic, but it's part of the process of getting the truck off the line.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not a normal NHRA regulation tree where once you're staged, the lights drop. No, they get you rolled into stage. They wait for you to build boost, and it's a manually triggered tree.
But when they trigger it, it's quicker.
It's drop.
It's quicker than a pro tree. That thing comes down fast.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see the yellows. It's just now green. Yeah. Once you see the first yellow, the guys, they're not waiting for it to go green. They're already feeding the clutch. They're feeding it now.
It's definitely, you know, you watch NHRA because of the Mellow Yellow sponsorship here, the go on yellow. These guys really, you go on yellow.
Yeah. No, it was different. I mean, our biggest thing for us up there, being first-time announcers for an event like that, wasn't just lack of knowledge or lack of familiarity with the sport, because let's face it, we just can't travel to the event to learn this.
No.
But Eves.
Eves was a trip.
Our friend working with a bilingual sport where we have a French-speaking counterpart to work with.
Yeah.
It changed up a lot for us, and it was probably the most difficult thing for me all weekend to get used to.
Yeah, it was very hard to adjust to, and I think, again, next year, behind the scenes, internally, there'd be some changes there. Nothing against Eves. I don't mean for this to be a slam against those guys. They did a hell of a job.
They did their thing.
It's just how we're going to approach it and how we're going to interact. I think next year, it'll be a little different, and I don't know, maybe we'll be a little bit more assertive with some of the stuff we're doing, just because we'll know more and be more dangerous. But to work with another announcer that you not only have never worked with before, but also have no idea what the hell he's saying. I mean, he could have been calling us everything but a white man.
How many times did I go, what he said?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he'll rattle on for 5 minutes, and I'm going, not a clue.
Yeah. But everybody's
and
there.
And you can't just take a French class to learn it.
No.
Because when you learn French class, you are learning French.
Yeah.
Which Quebec French is different from You know, even the French that spoke here over in Ontario, the Dover area, very heavy, of course. Yeah. You know, Orville Couture and them.
Yep.
Very French speaking, but it's a different dialect of French, you know.
And it's very, the thing I noticed especially, very fast.
Very fast and very slang.
Yeah. If you, people who speak Spanish will understand this reference. They will tell you that the Puerto Ricans speak the fastest and with the most slang. It, that's what these guys are like. It's just, you know, I took French in high school, like 3 years of it. No, I was terrible at it. No, I don't remember a whole bunch, but geez, I nothing. Just he would talk for 2 minutes, and I caught a name here and there because it was on the sheet in front of me, and that's it.
And that's just it. Learning the pronunciation of the French names, you know, one Ghislain.
Yeah,
I kept slaughtering that all weekend, and he'd repeat it, and I'm going I know Jacques Lafleur, that was easy, you know. But, you know, I mean, the French names, you know, it was different stuff. It was cool. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
The fans up there were just fantastic.
Yeah, I heard 14,000 wristbands were doled out over the course of the weekend.
And they sat there Saturday during the rain.
They toughed it out. They really did.
They stuck it out there. And stayed with it, which is awesome.
Especially because not only is it cold, it's wet, it's miserable, but because of the wet conditions, we could only do Class C and Class B loaded racing. We couldn't do any of the bobtail stuff. So there, while we were cleaning mud off the track or waiting to rehook trailers up, there was a lot of dead time and people stuck it out.
Normally what they were telling me, Kevin, our timing guy for the day or weekend, he told me they normally get through 150 races a day. We did 40 on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it made for a very long Sunday. We started 2 hours earlier, but it you know, we didn't get to the open class, which I know a lot of people want to see.
I did too, but it is what it is. We would have been, there was no lights. It would not have been possible.
No, and with the loads and everything, even with lights, it still would have been a risky endeavor.
Yeah, it would have. But everybody, yeah, they want to win, but it was so refreshing to see guys there just to have fun. And what is so emblematic of that, out of that weekend, if anybody turned on the red light, both guys would just stop, back up. It's okay. We'll do it again.
Yep.
Every single time.
Yeah, awesome. It wasn't, oh, I get a free win. No, we go back, we do it again.
No, we're not going
to pull up to the line, not stage, set the brakes, hop out, shake hands with each other, hop back in the truck, and go again.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm going, what?
I'm not going to beat you on a red light. I'm going to beat you because I beat you. And it was every single time.
Yep. And I mean, the American guys, it took some getting used to for them, but soon they realized, oh, we get to go again.
Yeah, it was cool.
I red lighted. I get another shot.
Yep.
No, it was probably one of the coolest motorsports. I know we'll be back up there next year. Can't wait for that. You know, Mike Sturgill, first time event up there.
Amazing job.
I know he was in a mad rush the entire weekend. A couple times he came up to us, and I looked at him, Mike, just breathe. You're doing awesome.
For a first time event, absolutely killed it.
He couldn't control the weather. There were some complaints about mud in the pits and all that. Yeah, it
rained.
Sucked.
What are you going to do?
It rained. What are you going to do? It's Bowling Green. If it rains, you're stuck
in
the mud.
I have a feeling the pits next year are going to be paved. He couldn't pave them in time this year because 3 weeks before that, the race, there was snow on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, contingencies he had in place, you know, for the wet spots, he had wood chips there. They were spreading wood chips.
He was ready.
You know, they had 21A sitting there because he knew the approach up to the asphalt would start settling just as the nature of it. So they've got a vibratory roller there and a loader. And as the trucks are pulling on, they're building the 21A up, going up to the asphalt to make sure it's a smooth approach. I mean, how many promoters think of stuff like that?
No, he had that. He had Friday night, they had the truck show inside the oval track with a live band playing. There's food, people hanging around.
Live band on Saturday.
Tooling around on golf carts, you know, having a couple barley pops, enjoying each other's company. Beautiful weekend, you know, other than the rain. Just the whole thing was super, super impressive.
Fireworks show Saturday night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool. They're talking, you know, they were talking, well, we need to do a sled pull too. And, you know, I mean, it was, if you're into big rigs, you needed to be there.
That was it.
Because as of right now,
Vendor Midway,
the two biggest semi-truck events in Michigan now take place within 30 miles of each other.
Yes. Yeah, St. Ignace Truck Show, the other one.
You know, how many places say that? It's a very remote area, but I mean, the trucks they had up there. And you know who else I got to give a shout out to up there? Joey's Towing, coming up from Detroit.
Yes.
Those boys...
They were on it, man.
...were on the spot. There wasn't a truck that sat there more than 5 minutes before they were hauling them off.
Yeah. And I mean, not 5 minutes before the tow truck got there. 5 minutes before the thing's gone. Gone.
You know, and I talked to Joey and Mike, the two guys there. Of course, Joey, the owner, Mike, his right-hand man. And I go, guys, you did a great job. And they go, well, now next year we know we need this and this and this. I go, no, you guys didn't know what to expect. And you guys knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, huge. There was no calling for them. I mean, they knew. Okay, out we go.
Yep, and that to me was amazing, just the speed in which they were out there making sure we kept the show rolling.
Yeah, fantastic. All the way around, thumbs up, high marks. I can't say one bad thing about it at all. Nothing.
The only bad thing I can say is if you weren't there, you really missed out.
You really did. Yeah. Woodstock took place in some far-flung corner of New York. Nobody knew about it. Well, drag racing semis up in some far-flung corner of Michigan. And, boy, you better be there next time.
You know, I was chatting with Brian Lonis on Messenger. Of course, he'll be on here later in the show. But chatting with him on Messenger, and I told him, you know, I sent him a video of Class A racers up in Ottawa. He goes, I've always wanted to go to Canada to see that. I go, that wasn't Canada. He goes, what? I go, that was Michigan.
Yeah.
He goes, you're kidding me, right? I go, no, Ottawa Speedway, Michigan. I go, first time ever. I go, we got to announce it. He goes, that's awesome. We'll let you know next time.
I didn't realize this. It was Monday after we come back home at work. I had always thought this stuff was like way out Quebec, like St. Lawrence Seaway out there.
No.
The Rodeo du Camion, the big one at Notre Dame du Nord, it's like 3 hours north of Sudbury up on the Ottawa,
yeah,
Quebec line. I didn't realize there is nothing up there. And at the Thumb Pole Friday night, I was talking about this with Mark Doobie, and he says, you know what? That's probably what makes them so good, because if it breaks up there, they fix it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got talking to them, and, you know, they're all telling me, you know, unfortunately, same weekend as Langford,
yeah,
is Rodeo du Camion, you know, and everybody goes, you got to come up to Notre Dame for the pole. I'm like, I'd love to, but I go, it's my grand national event for the year. I can't, but you know, they go, no, we want you up here. I go, well, I'll be honest. There's been a, so to speak, rumor put out there about Americans not really being wanted because of the lack of French speaking. They go, oh no, we want you there.
Yeah, and they were, yeah, you know what? And that's something. Let's talk about
stereotype.
That for a minute. That stereotype, and if you watch certain, you know, we're here on the border, so we get to watch the CBC comedy shows, and they're always making fun of the Quebec independence people and how difficult they can be, and this, that, the other. These were some of the coolest, funniest, Frenchies. Friendliest French-speaking people ever. They were so cool, and I'd love to go up there.
The first things out of their mouth is they go, we drink while announcing.
Oh, and do they? Jeez. And Eves,
my liver.
Well, you know what you need to do? People don't know this if they were there, because you can't see in the trailer where we were announcing from. When that music is playing, Eves never stops moving. He's dancing the whole time. He's sweating that alcohol out of him.
I'm dancing. We're all dancing. There's people looking in the doors just laughing.
It was something,
you know,
else.
Oh, you can't help but be swept up in his energy.
You cannot.
You know? No. You know, I'm out there dancing my butt off in the trailer, and everybody's just kind of looking at us. I'm going, let's have fun. I mean, we're trying to learn what they do. Let's do it how they do it,
because
they got to figure it out.
Yeah, and people in this area will appreciate this reference. A very high-energy French-speaking Leo Berzik.
Yes. Oh, my God. Actually, I stopped in the Armada Fair to pay my membership for the Agricultural Society that Monday, or two Mondays after. And I was talking to Mary and Bree in there, and I go, Leo, of course, came up in passing, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, you won't believe who I announced with. And I showed him. I go, look it. They go, oh, my God. Mary goes, I just got chills.
You have no idea.
But, I mean, the amount of alcohol consumed in that damn announcer stand was ridiculous.
It was, and I really didn't contribute. I had my fair share of beer, but, I mean, there was, the rum was a flying.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Between Friday and Saturday, I had a little bit of help. There was a half gallon of Bacardi gone.
I can't. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. You had to be there.
There was probably close to 2 half gallons consumed between the group of us in there, plus beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, but that was it. Nobody missed a beat. Nobody was sloppy about it, but I mean, we had fun.
We did that. We did. Good show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got some French friends now, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, before I left, said thank you to Jacques and Jeanette LaFleur. Jacques goes, add me on Facebook. Here's my cell phone number. Call me.
Yeah.
That's the type of people they are. You know, I hop in. I know you've heard this story many a time now because I'm still geeked about it. You know, you were up announcing. I was down trackside doing some video. And Jacques rolled the beams. So they back him up. I walk over to give him shit, you know, for rolling the beams. He sets the brakes on the truck, hops out. And I'm like, you know, he's going to, you know, we're going to give him hell. I go, what the hell, roll my beams, you know. He goes, hop in. Oh, okay. So I crawl in, go to Jeanette, sit in the passenger seat. I climb into the bump. There's this young couple sitting there and this guy who's been with them all weekend. I sit down. Next thing I know, we're stage, tree drops. He starts grabbing gears. We're at the top of the hill. I'm going, that's awesome. I just got to go on a loaded B-class race, you know. So he loops back around. I'm talking to this couple. I go, so how do you know Jacques and Jeanette? You know, I mean, yeah, what do you think? You know, you from Quebec? They go, no, we don't live around. You go, we live here. I go, where you live? They go, Bad Axe. I go, okay, I live Port Huron, you know, 2 hours away, you know, not that far. I go, so how do you know him? They go, we don't. They go, we were walking to go get food. He honked the horn at us. We got off to the side because he thought he wanted us to move. He stopped, told us to get in the truck, and next thing we know, we're sitting here.
Yeah, and it's one of the few forms, maybe the only, where you can go ride in the trucks when they're racing. And
it's not a safety hazard.
Not really, no. No, it's not. But where else can you climb in a 2,500, 3,000 horsepower truck and go for a ride up a drag strip?
Oh, I mean, every bunk was filled and every truck they could.
I've got photos. I can't remember who. It might be Tyson Brandt's truck where the skylights in the sleeper, if you look at some of the pictures, you can see faces in those windows up there.
That is an awesome E9 Mac.
Yeah.
Super liner. Oh, my God, that Mac power. But, you know,
The one that intimidated me the most was the
Western
white
Star.
Yeah, the Western Star. Did the twin charger Western Star that had the Atmo charger right up there in the grill.
You could feel it pulling you.
You could.
I'm not exaggerating. You could feel the wind around you.
Yeah, it was. I've been trackside for photographing full-on, you know, full NTPA mods, and they're screaming at you, and it's very impressive, and it gets me every time, but they're slowing down when they're getting that close. This thing is accelerating like a missile at you, and just that sound, that was intimidating.
And the white one, what one you were saying there was another one that got you?
No, it was that one. It was that one? Yeah,
that Western Star.
Oh, yeah.
My God. And you know what? What was cool there is we had downtime. If we were waiting on people to hook loads, what do? Let's bring our semi-truck out and do burnouts the entire eighth mile of the track, just burning the drives off.
Yeah.
You know, anything to keep the show going, you know. I was putting on video for JC and for Junior the day I came back, you know, on my smart TV off of YouTube. And, you know, it's not uncommon for them to have cars drag racing and that. And, you know, everybody to come out and just get a train of people doing burnouts. You know, I'm like, oh, there's Jacques. I go, there's Marco Genesee. I go, okay, here's Ray Murphy. You know, I'm watching a video. I go, now I know these people, but just burning the drives off.
Mm-hmm. I did ask Jacques LaFleur about that. How much, what is tire life? And he says, you'd be surprised. They're hard tires. They last a long time.
That he goes, he picked up a tire sponsorship and they go, well, how many tires are you going to need? He goes, well, how many burnouts do you want me to do? It was a sport that I hope does not get tainted over here.
Yeah. You know, Canada gets this rap about, you know, the hyperactive government and putting clamps on this, that, the fun governorness of it all. And that's really not the case. They're actually allowed to do a lot more shit over there than we are here. And yeah, I hope the fun governors don't stop this.
Yep. And it was, like I said, you missed it if you weren't there. I mean, the people that we saw travel up from just down our area, you know, some names that, you know, of course we knew would show up to something like that, but
yeah,
you know, some other names, you know, seeing Denny Schweighofer come up with his crew and, you know,
yeah.
Main contractors coming up to see that, you know, won't be surprised if we see some train haulers coming up next year.
I called a few of them out back a few weeks before this because there was still open registration for it and nobody took the bait, but I think next year there will be some.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was something cool. If you wanted to see how big you were, I mean, we even had a state rep in the seat of a truck.
Yes, we did.
Mr. Tristan Cole from Mancelona.
Yep.
Really
sits
cool
on
guy.
He sits on the committee for transportation with the state of Michigan, too. So,
yep.
If
transportation and infrastructure. So yeah, if you want to complain about your roads.
If you think the source of the problem is the per axle state limits, you're probably going to hear deafness from that particular office. But this is the kind of guy who is the head of the committee. And so, you know, in trucking, forestry, because he works for Precision Forestry, but also the motorsports. He understands it. He gets it.
No, it was cool. They had two or three state reps from that area up there and got to talk with them, just some great people. And that was probably the biggest fun was a lot of the people up there. You know,
yeah.
We got to make some connections with some people. Photography-wise, we had a guy out from Philadelphia area, northwest?
Yeah, Philadelphia. I spent some time with another gentleman who does a lot of this stuff I forget the name of the city, somewhere in Quebec. And actually, there was an event. They had a race this past weekend somewhere else up there. He had some live streams that popped up on Facebook, so I'm sitting there watching these guys do their thing.
Got to meet, I'm drawing a blank, last name's Evans, photographer from right in Lapeer. And actually, I've known his dad's truck forever.
Yep.
His dad's got the 379 Peterbilt burgundy and white service truck.
He's a contributor for a large car magazine.
Yep. And lo and behold, we got talking trains and, you know, it met his brother and, you know.
Cool guys.
Just some great people we got to meet. And it was still that intimacy. It was still fresh. It was still new.
Same story we have in tractor pulling. The machines bring you, the people keep you.
Yes, absolutely. You know. The amount of friends we left with up there was just simply amazing. And, you know, who would have thought I'd have friends? Of course, I got friends in Ontario already. But to extend all the way to Quebec, you know, keeping up with them and still joking back and forth. And
racers,
it's awesome.
The amount of racers who came from far and wide, and I do mean far. You know, Ray Murphy's from Connecticut. There was somebody there from Newfoundland.
Ray Murphy's from New Brunswick.
Oh, New Brunswick. Oh, he was the one from New Brunswick.
New Brunswick,
New Brunswick. There was somebody on the other end from Colorado.
Connecticut.
There was Minnesota.
Minnesota. Sailor. Can't think of
Colton Sailor.
Colton Sailor.
Pulling truck.
Who pulls a pulling truck,
Yeah, that thing was... It's definitely a pulling truck. You could tell by the turbocharger setup in it, the way it drives. But if he keeps that charger lit coming off the line, it's going to spin all eight drives for about 330 feet. And then it's going to hook up. And it's going to be gone.
You know, that was probably one of the coolest things. Of course, Valley Truck bringing the Green Giant up.
Yeah.
And then Francis Engineering coming out with,
Maximus Prime
2. Maximus Prime 2. And we were told, you heard it, we were told, what are they going to do? Oh, they're just going to make a slow roll down the track.
Uh-uh.
No, we've got an E9 Max Superliner, you know, four charger setup that runs PPL Champions Tour and OSTPA state level. And we have a V71 Detroit and a lifted wheelie truck. And they line up, they stage, and they race.
Yeah.
And I did not know Maximus Prime had that many years left in the transmission, or you could get through them that quick, but holy shit, was that a rocket ship.
Yeah, I think they pull it, is it 18,000, or are they down to 16 now, whatever 18, it is, 18,000. 18. Yeah, extensive burnout, and then she gripped, and she was gone.
Oh yeah, it was awesome, you know, to come from MIS pulling to go right to the drag strip was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I had seen it that morning, Sunday morning, walking through, and it was in the grounds on the trailer, and I figured, they'll probably tow it up there or something. But, oh, no, we got the full treatment.
Yeah, no, they're just doing a, slow roll down the track at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So.
Just out for a Sunday drive.
Nope, great time. Hats off to Mike and Billy up there. Just a great job done by them, too, getting everything orchestrated and getting it, you know, getting it done. I know Saturday morning when I left to go get refill of Coca-Cola and ice, you know, it was lined up down M33. So it was great job, guys. That was awesome.
Even Sundays, we're leaving. There's a disker out there in the parking, the dirt parking area, fixing it.
Yeah, the field cultivator out there working the ground, fixing the ruts.
I mean, that could have waited till Monday, but nope, they got it taken care of Sunday night.
Yep, let's get going with it.
Yeah.
So, great job. That was awesome event. But we got other stuff to talk about, too.
Yeah, we do. Some of it a little bit more.
Should we get the two we don't want to talk about first?
The two we don't want to talk about, and then the serious one that we need to address. Yeah, it's actually last week now.
Yep.
That we learned of the passing of two very, very successful modified pullers from a close area to us in, you know, northern Ohio area. Of course, 2000 NTPA Hall of Fame inductee, legendary John Heilman, passing last Tuesday. And also Dan Utz, who ran the Thumper twin-engine mod, very competitive in a regional level. There's a lot of Michigan guys who really looked up to Dan Utz and what he did. Back in the 80s. He passed away actually on Memorial Day last week. I'm sad to hear of that for both gentlemen. John, I think, probably a little bit more top of mind because of his success both more recently and on a larger scale. I did get to see him run the Ohio Gold tractor and the Golden Thunder two-wheeler back in the 90s indoors for... What would have been, I don't know, TNT or SRO, whoever the hell was doing
it's,
it.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
But back then, I did get to see him run in, period. So that was cool. But, yeah, kind of tough to see some of these guys who were just absolute giants of the sport leave us. It's not cool.
No, it's been a tough year already. You know, I mean, one name pops right off the top of my head, Billy Joe Miles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a tough year already. A lot of these legends are not getting any younger.
No.
And unfortunately, we're losing them. So once again, if you got anybody, you know, let us know. We haven't done a show, but we also lost antique puller Kenny Folan, too.
Yes.
Big NATPA puller for many years. I know that was a tough one, of course, for JC, because Kenny was another grandpa to her. So,
yeah.
And second dad to Jeff Gravert. So, you know, it's been a tough few weeks here, but if you got anybody you want, you know involved in the sport that's passed away, reach out to us, let us know. We want to give them their due final salute off, so to speak.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Well, let's get serious here, because there's been a lot of discussion about this, and you know, maybe some people don't understand exactly why the rules are specific for one type of mini, or maybe we can explain a little more of the theory of why it's more of a concern with this type of tractor than any other. And of course, we're talking about the Fort Recovery incident.
Yeah.
This past week, an event you and I had talked about going to.
We would have, yeah, circumstances different. We for sure would have been there for this.
But of course, Stan Shelton, longtime puller for many years, two-wheel drives, now mm-hmm. mod and minis. Daughter Camille, Cammy, mm-hmm. Getting in the seat. And rough class to begin with. I know they had some sled issues.
They did.
Well, we're going to discuss that too. But making her pass, and the transmission decided, I don't want to play no more. Grenaded between her feet. Luckily, she made it out with fairly minor injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside... flying shrapnel, big chunk of cast aluminum, flew up in the stands, did hurt a spectator. She did spend some time in the hospital. From what I've heard, she is out and doing well.
Yeah, I understand. Whoever, you know, they haven't disclosed what her name or any of that, and they
and
don't need to.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but she is, I understand, home and going to make a full recovery.
But, of course, right away, seeing right out of NTPA, rule change coming out, effective immediately, they need a shield over the transmissions on the minis. Now, people go, well, why hasn't that been in place before? It probably should have, but these are very, very rugged transmissions to begin with. And, yeah, maybe we've rested on our laurels too much, but the rule change is specific for one type of mini.
The planetary-equipped ones, which is a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're
talking... Three, four years ago, that wasn't a thing.
No, it's been the past year or two we've really seen the planetaries come out because they're finally finding planetaries light enough for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we can play the, well, how come you, you know, you got ballistic blankets on crossboxes on mods, and you got this, and you got that, how come you didn't... God, you can't foresee everything.
And, you know, everybody was going, well, why just the planetary ones? Well, it was very quickly pointed out is, with the planetary drives, of course, gear reduction's being done at the hub now.
Yeah.
So, a lot less stress on the axle, a lot less stress on the components, so to speak.
Very much less.
But you're spinning the RPMs 2 to 3 times faster through that trans.
That trans right behind the bell housing is the focus of the problem. And on the other end, yes, the planetaries and the hubs are a problem as well. But how many times have we seen planetaries let go?
2, and it was at the same event, and that's the only time I've ever seen it happen.
I've seen it happen more often than that, but when it does, because it is going to go out centrifugally within the tire...
It normally just tears up their rim.
It'll chuck some crap on the track, but no one's really going to get hurt by it. The trans, yeah, it is an issue. And you know, okay, fine. Yeah, they should have seen it. Okay, you can foresee every fucking thing that you do every day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wish we could say we always have enough foresight. And, you know, Charles, you and I have talked safety. Actually, there's a thread going on Facebook on the Outlaw Antique Tractor Pulling Forum of a 560 turning.
Yes.
$5,000. I know you saw me comment on it.
I read through some of the comments.
And we're going to get into that one, too. I do
we'll
want to get
you
into
You want to talk about that one today?
I do want to get, because it relates to this one.
Sure.
Directly.
That's fair.
Directly.
Yeah, it perfectly does. That's fair.
But you
I
know,
didn't read them all because I got tired of the stupid.
There's some I skipped over. But, you know, would have been great. We had some foresight. Were we fortunate that nobody got killed or seriously dismembered?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we've gone from a mini rod that has not changed really in the past 15, 20 years.
No.
Horsepower gains, but...
Power gains, but come on.
No real innovative things coming out.
No, it's... This is the planetaries in a mini is probably the first quote unquote new thing under the sun since we stopped using wedge chassis in the late 1990s, really.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, and it's a simple fix. Take about
it's already been done.
20 minutes. We saw examples. The rule was posted by Uncle Larry and NTPA.
And I got to say,
it wasn't even 8 hours later. We already had a picture of what is an adequate shield. Which is literally just a horseshoe with a brace. So when you slide your cross in, it's there. It's bolted to your frame. It's going to direct the parts downward.
And people are on PPL's ass that why don't you have a rule? I'm sure that they do. Because these organizations talk back and forth. I have no doubt that whatever was written, Larry Richrine and John Mears were both involved in it. But the optics matter. NTPA had it out there. This happened at a PPL event. Now, I don't know. I'm going to do some irresponsible speculation. Both organizations have an attorney on retainer. They do. You can find you can find out who's NTP's A's is. It's in the rule book. It's in the puller, for Christ's sake. They probably had an attorney saying, yep, write the rule, enforce it at Saluda this coming weekend, but shut the hell up.
Yep.
For right now, the best thing you can do is shut up.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you make it announce, okay, now we're going to make this mandatory. Now you've admitted guilt.
Culpability is there now.
Yep. Whereas NTPA is just going to call and say, hey, we didn't have this happen, but we're going to do this now because we got no liabilities on us.
Yeah. No, it's very simple. So the optics about, PPL, what the hell? Why don't they have the rule out? Oh, believe me, it's there.
Oh, God.
It's 100%
there. That was talked about, bro. I guarantee.
It was talked about before they'd even left Saturday night.
I was going to say, I guarantee before, you know, right after they got, made sure Cammy was okay, got the lady medical attention. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Cammy had to go to the hospital too.
Yes, she did.
You know, I'm sure as soon as them ambulance doors shut, the head track official probably walked over, John Mears or whoever was there, and goes, hey, we got to fix this now.
Yeah, we saw the same thing at White Pine.
Yep, we're not going to get into discussing what
happened.
Was.
It doesn't matter, but there was a rule drafted within half an hour.
If that.
I mean, they already knew. They had pictures. They knew what they had to do.
Yep. And, you know, it's not that these organizations rest. It's not that they want to put people in jeopardy.
No.
You know, it is safety. And that's the number one thing here is, you know, safety, it might not sound fun, but you know what? It makes it more fun in the long run.
Oh, it sure does, because talking about some of the stuff we just did talk about, I'd rather talk about them getting old.
Oh, God, yeah.
Than getting killed.
And think about it. How many pullers have we ever had killed out on the track?
I have to think hard about one where it happened for not a medical reason.
Yeah, other than a natural, you know, heart attack, something like that, yeah. But due to an injury. I can't think of any.
No.
No. I cannot think of any.
I'm sure that it has happened.
Oh, I'm sure there has.
But it's not something where I just go, oh, yeah, it was
Joe Smo with his V8, you know, no.
I can't think of one.
No. So, and that brings me up to my other subject, you know. I get preachy. I get called out for it on many forums now. I don't care. We do this show because we enjoy doing it, and it's a way for us to vent and kind of let you guys think what we think. But had a tractor basically running a lot like what the GoFast class was for Thumb for many, many years.
Yeah.
Open RPM, they weigh in at 7,000 pounds versus 6,065, which was GoFast for years. 18-4 tires, you know, yada, yada, yada. 301, 460, and I heard him in Sigourney. He comes down the track, first pull of the night. He wasn't even on 18-4s at the time. He's on, like, 13-6s, 13-634s. You know how much that motor was loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And just screaming to the moon. I walk up to him, and I go, hey, listen, I go, I don't care you're turning that many RPMs. I go, but I do have a problem. I go, do you have a steel flywheel on it? And he wouldn't give me an answer. I go, I need a bell housing blanket before I hear you turn them RPMs again on any track.
Yeah.
And
it's just pure and simple. I'm standing down
things
here.
Things proceeded on through the weekend. We still had some RPM issues. He got disqualified, asked not to come back. Video came out on Facebook of him running once again.
I didn't realize this was the same guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Came out, no flywheel blanket on the tractor. Now, once again, haven't gotten a reading on whether or not it's got a pressed steel flywheel, not cast iron, because that's a big thing.
It's,
either
yeah.
way. And Trent Pollock was the one who brought this up, is we need not just a blanket over the bell housing, but it's very easy to do. You remember the 656. The blanket's long enough because they're made for automatic transmissions. It covers the TA housing.
Yeah.
Because those clutches and gear sets in there aren't designed to turn 5,000 RPM either.
We've had a flywheel get out of a V8 hot rod that was blanketed several years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, this is it. You know, is you got to think before you do stuff. I understand it's cool to turn the RPMs. And people go, oh, my God, I can't believe you're turning that many RPMs up. I go, 301.
They can do it all day long.
They can do it all day long, and they'll bag for more.
The engines can do it all the time.
But it's the driveline beyond. That's where the concern is. You know, everybody's seen the video of the Farmall 1206 where I know the clutch was slipping and it got the flywheel hot and the rack stuck. I get that, but it was still a cast iron flywheel that got hot and blew apart.
Yeah. A cast flywheel. Well, that's another argument. Cast flywheel on a P-pump tracker. What the? Duh.
Exactly. I mean, probably spent the money on the 2-disc slipper clutch, but we'll keep the cast iron. But anyways. Come on, people. Trans blanket doesn't cost you much. And you know one thing Jeff Graver brought up even? At 5,000 RPM, what's a stock steel fan going to do when that lets go?
Oh, it's going to act like a buzzsaw.
And what did I have on our 656?
Electric.
Yep. Not only does it save you a little bit of weight, because that little fan probably weighs 2-3 pounds and might not sound like much, but that electric's a lot lighter. And boy, does it move some air. You remember how big of a fan I had on ours. We had a 2700 CFM, you could stand in front of it, and it would blow your hair.
Summit Flexolite, look it up, summitracing.com.
Yeah, you can do a Flexolite aluminum fan, bolts right in, got one of them for that too, but, you know, I mean, you guys, I don't get it. You're going to spend, you know, $7,000-$8,000 on your motor, but you won't spend $500-$600 on a steel flywheel. And I heard people going, well, I can't find them. Murphys.com.
They make them. They have them on the shelf. Plus, there's how many machine shops can, you know, I'm sure Kastner's can make you one. I don't know.
Atlas Tractor.
Atlas Fair Valley. You know, oh, I don't know where to get one. Bullshit.
Just, guys, use your heads a little bit, because you know one thing is we all joke about lawyers, you know, chasing after ambulances.
They do.
And we don't want them chasing after ambulances that are leaving fairgrounds after tractor pulls, because that's a good way to watch our sport get ruled out of being financially viable, you know, insurance wise, so we can go compete.
Yeah. And don't, mechanical stuff's going to break, okay? And this kind of goes back a little bit to what happened with the mini rod.
Crap happens.
It does. And there's bitching about, oh, well, the thing was hot. They pulled it three times, this, that, the other.
Oh, that's cute.
I want you to listen to what you're going to hear Brian Lonas talk about in a little bit when we get to his segment. That thing was going to break. Heat's not a, no. Transits don't get that hot anyway.
No.
Just a bunch of crap. But yeah, it really, the responsibility at some level falls to you. You hook to the sled. You push the throttle down. You need to make sure your stuff's right. It's not the sled operator's fault. It's not the sanctioning body's fault. It's you.
The burden of proof on whether or not you've built your tractor with the proper safety specs is not on the sanctioning body. The burden of proof is on you.
Yeah, and we have said that many times on this show. The problem is not the sanctioning body when it comes to cheating or safety. The problem is you, the competitors.
Yeah.
Your responsibility for your machine begins and ends with you. It doesn't begin and end with the sanctioning body or the sled operator or the flagman or your tech rep or the guy at, you know, Jim Bob's Auto Parts where you bought the stuff. It's your machine. You own it. Suck it up and take responsibility for that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't agree with browbeating somebody about something, but I mean, at least use your head enough to have the forethought so that way you aren't the problem when something lets go.
Let's talk about something a little bit more fun.
Yeah,
and has a connection to something you, I think you posted on our Facebook page today.
I might have, did I post something today?
Yeah, or maybe yesterday.
Could be. I posted something.
Thumb Tractor Pulling Association had their season opener back on Friday.
And Peck. Oh my God. Great show. We haven't even talked about that. What? The amount of iron there was just
I haven't
awesome.
Seen a season opener like that for TTP.
Great job, Thumb.
Great
job, Thumb. That's what we need.
Smooth show. And listen to this. 85 registered hooks. 85.
And we were done by midnight.
It was before midnight.
Before midnight.
Unbelievable. Great show. Good job. Hats off to you guys.
Absolutely.
It was cold.
That was awesome.
It was a bit miserable.
Oh, my God. It got
Not
cold.
Not going to lie, but that many guys ready to go. And look, we've said it on the show repeatedly. Credit where credit is due. When it comes to running a tight show, Thumb crushes it. They're always on their game. And it was like they hadn't been
we've
an off season.
We've gotten spoiled. We've gotten spoiled by that.
Truly have.
Anyways, you were going with another point there. So,
but there was a particular tractor there that ran in the modifieds for about 50 feet.
Oh, my God. I looked at them fenders, and I'm sitting there going, I should know that tractor, because it was one of my favorites growing up. And even more of a favorite was the other tractor in the fleet, maybe more the driver. At the time.
Jim Martell has resurrected what at one time was Dave Archer's Pioneer. And Kathy Archer, of course, has a tie-in there.
Had the
Black Widow.
No. It was Wagon Master.
Oh, well, yes, she did. The Wagon Master came before Black Widow.
Black Widow came, yep.
Yeah. And
that's when I fell in love with her, when it was two in line with two set crank-to-crank facing outboard.
Yep, exactly.
And the fifth would get stair-stepped on top.
Yeah.
Same combination. Actually, Dave ran in his five engine back, and then, of course, they went to the new chassis, which Mr. Martell has now.
Yep, he resurrected the thing and had some engine problems, but the cool tie-in is I'd heard that actually Dave Archer, the reason that he had sold out on the tractor was that he wasn't in the best of health, and he had undergone some treatment for lung cancer. Well, their new project was
what?
Out. Oh, maybe it wasn't you then that put this up. So you didn't
see
this.
I need to read our Facebook page, don't I?
So Something else that Brian's going to talk about when he, in his interview, he's going to mention the East Coast Timing Association that he used to be an owner of, yeah, and since sold out. They used to be based in Wilmington, Ohio. They have now moved to a track in, or an airfield in Arkansas. They had an event this past weekend, and Jack Donahue had the ECTA record for tractors at, I don't know, 90-some-odd miles an hour.
Oh, I did share that. That the, wait, what?
Jack Donahue had the record.
Yeah, with the 8N Ford.
Well, Kathy Archer drove her dad's Alice D17 to a new tractor record at 108 miles an hour.
Wait,
this past
that was
weekend.
Kathy in the seat?
Kathy drove it. And they still have that shorty Jeep that they used to push start it, that their old pit vehicle. They still have it.
I knew I shared it, but I thought it was just cool. I didn't read the article.
It was it was something. It was a project started. Dave, he says in the article that he started this because, yes, he went through a double lung transplant, actually, is what he did.
Oh, wow.
Double lung transplant. He's like, I needed something to
do.
To do something to think about to keep me going. And he's like, well, let's do, you know, he saw what Jack Donahue was doing with the funk converted 8N, you know, 8 Incredible. He's like, we can do that. So they took a D17 with a Buddha engine in it. Thing now turns like something like 7,000 RPMs. Steel flywheel. It's got a single one gear in the transmission, and that's fast as hell. And they took the tractor record away at 108 miles an hour this past weekend.
I didn't realize that was Kathy in the seat.
Kathy
oh
drove
God.
It. That so I, super cool.
I should have been paying more attention. I just thought it was cool they were using a D19, of course. For the tractor nuts out there who don't know it, D19 being the first production turbocharged tractor, you know, row crop tractor ever, of course, IH being the first 100 horse turbocharged, but the D19 being the first turbocharged, I go, oh, that's neat. And I didn't realize they had a gas side one, but I go, that's cool. I've been so busy with stuff, I haven't had a chance to read the article, but.
It had been up for a while, and then this afternoon, I was scrolling past, I don't know what I was looking for, but there was the picture. I think it had a close up of the roll cage, and I just those eyes. I know those eyes. Wait a minute, what's going on here? It's like, and I get into the story. Oh, okay.
So that is cool. I mean, that is really cool.
Yeah. So a neat connection to bring the weekend full circle.
Yeah, it's been a cool weekend. Of course, Mid Michigan Mini starting their season. Some new tractors out for them. We had a good time up there for that. Next weekend, of course, this weekend I'm down at Legendary's Diesel event. Next weekend, we start pulling in Canada.
You do. I'm going to be in Blanchard over here.
Yep.
And then the week after that, holy shit.
I haven't looked, but I don't. I'm living a short period at a time.
Get ready to live out of suitcase.
Yeah, it's about par for the course anyways. But Shedden, of course, we're going to start with Empire State in Shedden for their pull. Then, of course, on Saturday going up to Dungannon for the Dungannon Super Bowl. Southwest Ontario OTTPA co-sanction up there. So a lot of cool stuff, I think.
The Light Limited Superstock Grand National Tour.
Starts again, of course, at Shedden, goes up to Dungannon. So that'll be fun as always, seeing who shows up. I hear some names from New York going to be coming over to play again. So looking forward to it. But a lot of pulling action as we get into the heart of the season. And it's not slowing down for us. I got a call to do a pull in Georgetown, Ontario, just outside Toronto.
Ooh.
In September. So I got another pull for beer money coming up here end of the month. Which, of course, the Churn and Dirt, they're going UCC style drag race dyno pulling.
Yes, they are.
Last I heard, two slots left open. And cool thing, if you saw the Facebook page today, you drive your tractor, get in free.
Yeah, and if you happen to know, what was his name? James Strauss from Lake Geneva, Ohio.
I think that was that Lake Geneva, Ohio, or Lake Geneva, Wisconsin?
Excuse me, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Ohio.
I'm sorry, a guy videotaping somebody with a cell phone while driving.
And his radar detector's going off.
Radar detector's going off and complaining about the speed and how hazardous a tractor is going down the road. Give me a break. I'm not going to get into that. I swore I wasn't going to. But, I mean, thank you for beer money stepping up. Going to be cool seeing all these tractors rolling in to get in.
Drive your tractor, you get in for free.
That's awesome. And, I mean, you can fit a lot of people in a cab of a tractor.
Yes, you can.
It's going to look like the drive-ins back in the 60s.
Yeah. And I don't want to see any of this, you know, newfangled, we got AC Nintendo tractors doing it. No, I want you to cram about 12 people and then an 806 with an icebox on it. No AC. The windows are frozen shut.
Frozen by rust.
Yes. Corrosion.
But, you know, got to give it out to Jason Schultz. Always looking for something to help make a situation better and kind of give a middle finger to people who...
deserve
narrow-minded. You know, that's it is what it is. But you know what? I'm looking. We've got an hour of recording in already. We haven't even gotten to Lonus.
No, that guy from Bankshift.com, who I mean it when I say it. It is my morning coffee routine. Every morning I have my coffee. I read Fonda's Board, Pull Off, and Bankshift. Just every morning, have for years. It's just part of it. And he's also an announcer for NHRA, and he's doing a cool new TV show. Well, it's just actually second season now. Put Up or Shut Up, that now includes Pullers.
Yep. Great guy, and unfortunately, just due to time constraints today, because he's recording, you know, for NHRA. Actually, as we're speaking right now, he's recording. I probably shouldn't try calling him again, but he was he able to come on for a little bit, but
we'll have him
back on again, because I this is going to be one we're just going to basically just record and call it a show, because... A lot of long history with this guy as far as motorsports and his fascinations of which best thing he ever did. You know, we've been Facebook messaging back and forth. You know, I talked to you about, hey, let's see if we can get him on. He's like, yeah, let's do it. Is he sends me a picture of his Farmall hat. So I sent him a picture of, you know, stuff around the house.
He's a Farmall guy.
He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, have you ever been to Pockets down in Leesburg? I go, no, my parents have. I haven't been. And we, you know, go off on tractors, you know, just... Great guy.
He's a brilliant drag racing mind, but he definitely has his finger on the pulse of what's going on out here in the Midwest.
Yeah,
too.
He loves his tractors. He loves his pulling. He loves anything with a motor, and that's where we're at, you know?
Yeah, and I will tell you, if you really want deep dive, but you can read it in like 45 seconds, stuff of just anything with an engine, follow Brian Lonus on Instagram. He has the coolest Instagram page there is. Just do it. Follow. Trust me.
So with that, we're going to take a break here, and we'll play our pre-recorded interview of Brian Lonus, and then we'll be back with you momentarily. This is Sidetracked, powered by DHD.
You make your living going up and down the road, and time is money. Would you like to save from 5 to 25% on fuel, up to 25% more power with better bottom-end acceleration? You need to get with DieselFreak.com and their truck tuning services. Works for Cummins, Caterpillar, Detroit Diesel, and more. If you want to kick it up another notch, you can get their off-highway tuning for high horsepower. It'll unlock the RPM limiters, twin turbo setups, VGT turbo replacement, EGR valve delete, DPF delete, urea delete, and more, and it all comes with a 30-day warranty. Not only that, they've also moved into the agriculture realm. They'll bring their dyno on site to you. Get a baseline on your tractor and write a custom tune for it, load it up, and show you the difference. Also, with a 30-day warranty, save fuel, increase power with performance tuning from DieselFreak.com. For Case IH, Challenger, Claas, Fendt, John Deere, Massey Ferguson, New Holland, Valtra, and more, DieselFreak.com. They can be reached at 989-748-4145. 989-748-4145. Ask for Wade and tell him.
Cut that bitch off!
And we're back with Sidetrack, powered by Dirty Hooker Diesel. And Charles, we got a guest on tonight that is way more famous than we'll ever be. He's got a small website, works for some small little drag racing organization.
I got to tell you, I can't get through my morning coffee without reading his website. I mean, every morning for like 4 years now.
I've heard of it. That's about it. But Brian Lone is joining us. Of course, one of the guys behind Bankshift.com and works for that drag racing enterprise we know of as NHRA. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me on this deal. This is really cool.
Rusnik didn't warn you about us, did he?
No, he gave me no coaching. So I'm coming in blind. No, this is perfect. Just like everything else in my life. Yeah, good.
It's a pretty easy program. We just enjoy talking truck and tractor pulling. So now motorsports more than everything. We've kind of rebranded ourselves, and you're the first, so to speak, not exactly full pulling interview we've had on in quite some time since, Ken Venny.
Well, I'm honored, man. That's great.
But you came back to pulling. So you're involved in this TV show, this Put Up or Shut Up, and you guys started filming, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, and you let leak some photos from Galat Motorsports Park. What you had going on? What'd you guys do?
Yeah, so we shot at Galat, and we ran. So one of the ideas that one of the cool things about the show is, like, I work to come up with a lot of the ideas, and then we kind of pull them off. So we've done some pretty cool stuff, but the stuff we did at Galat on Tuesday was, like, definitely the coolest thing we've done so far. So we had Randy Davis in the Running Bear tractor, and we had Keith Whalen in the Super B, in the Super B. And so those are two, light unlimiteds or 7,500-pound modifieds, I guess, whichever category you want to call them. But, twin-engine blown alcohol tractors. And rather than do just the standard pulling format, the cool thing about Galat's course is that it's double wide. So we actually ran them hooked to sled on the pulling course, but we ran it as a drag race to 340 feet rather than a distance event. So the sleds were set up. We had the Bauer guys there with their sleds, and we had them set the sleds up that we would know the guys would make the 340 feet, and it was their job to get there ahead of somebody else. So it was pretty cool because the guys themselves didn't know what we were going to do until we told them, and that was also kind of the fun of it. They knew they were showing up there to pull something. They didn't know what was going on, and the cool thing was Wason was like, "Oh, this is way better than I thought." He goes, "I thought you were going to have us try to run these things with nothing behind them." I said, "No." I mean, one of the things that I really like to do on the show is showcase things or show stuff off that is maybe not like super, like a lot of people at home don't know how a sled works. A lot of people at home don't know just how serious and how big pulling is, not only in the United States, but across the world. So we always try to put a twist on things, but I didn't want to like take away the integrity of what these guys do. So it wasn't about making pulling tractors do something weird. It was just about having them do what they normally do, but just in a slightly different way. And by far the best episode we've ever made. Like the visual on this, like, wait till you see it. It's like, it's super badass. It's very cool.
You know, it was cool watching, you posted the picture of, Super B loaded in the trailer there. And everybody's commenting about, the little toe strap on the back and how heavy that thing is and all that. I'm going, you don't have any idea. This thing weighs next to nothing. This isn't even a big boy yet. Oh, my God. I'm going, you know what? This is going to be a good thing. We've talked about for a long time about how do you get pulling more mainstream? How do you get it out there? And some novelty like idea like this might be enough to spur some interest because it is truly madness in motorsports, People talk about, what top fuelers and all them do. Yeah, they're 10,000, 15,000 horsepower for 3 seconds. These guys with four engines on are 10,000 horsepower and on a 15-second burn, and they don't have to rebuild them after every pass. So,
hopefully.
Yeah. So the most really shocking thing to me with what we did was how quickly those guys can turn them around. And I realized, in a pull-off, typically in a pull off, if you're like at the end of the hook, like you're turning the thing around quick. But from our second to third round of this thing, like those guys literally brought it back to the starting line, fueled them, and they were pretty much ready to give it another rip in a half hour. And it was awesome because I'm sad to report that of all the episodes we shoot, the drag race guys are the slowest dudes to ever come back. Like we've done a road racing stuff, we've done dirt track stock car stuff, and it's always the drag race guys that take forever and their junk, yes, runs less and quicker than anybody else we have on the show. So that hurts my feelings a little bit, but no, these guys are super impressive, and their equipment's really good. So I think to me, it's like a really good way to show people just how cool pulling is. And again, a slightly different format, but it's a very educational show for people. How does a sled work? How do these tractors actually run with multiple engines? Like, and they're impressive, man. They're among, in my opinion, the most impressive vehicles in any sort of motorsport, like whatever you want to pick as a judgment point between the power they make or the technology that's evolved in them. They're awesome. So I hope people dig it.
I find it neat. You actually picked one of the newer classes of the sport of pulling with the light unlimiteds, where they are at that lightweight and only running two blown motors. For many years we've had the mod class 3-4 engines and of course the unlimited 4-5, but the light unlimited is known for their squirreliness, known for their really showing of the twisting of the frame with the torque due to the engines being set out there so far. Kind of a neat decision there.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, where it's like, you know, and one of the things we try to point out to people was like, you know, you put the two tractors next to each other, and if you're not paying a lot of attention, if you don't know what you're looking at, you think, oh, these things are like basically identical. But then you start to give some details, and you look at the engine placement, especially on Wason's tractor. Like, Wason's, his motors are as far out as you could get. You know, the oil pans are, the front of the oil pan is basically maybe halfway over the front tire, whereas Randy's tractor has the engine set back a little bit. So, you know, even just showing stuff off like that. And, you know, I explained in the show that pulling is basically just a giant physics experiment, right? It's balance. It's not just a simple brute strength thing. It's almost, you know, wholly dependent on getting the balance and stuff right. So, yeah, it was great. And the guys were really good. You know, they were cool, and they liked to kind of take some shots at each other. Like, the whole thing was really fun.
Yeah, you got lucky with a couple guys who actually are both from the East Coast, so I'm sure they know each other from, have grown up around each other on the East Coast circuits a little bit too.
Yeah, and that was one of the great things is, you know, Randy mostly pulls regionally. Like, he doesn't do any Grand National stuff, and Keith does a lot of Grand National stuff. So, but they've both been at a lot of the same events together. They definitely have a good rapport. So, yeah, you're 100% right. It was definitely better to have two guys that were kind of comfortable with each other than two dudes who had never met. So, yeah,
and I think that's an interesting point, too, going back to the chassis setup, the fact that Randy does stick a little bit more regionally. He keeps the engines back because he will wait up and run heavier and run a third motor on it, whereas Wason is really optimized for that light and limited, the Grand National stuff.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, it's funny, the crew that shoots this show is like, they're super, super talented. You know, most of them are kids from California, and they've never seen anything. Like, they, you know, we've shot episodes with some fairly loud stuff before, but I was like explaining to them in our meeting before we started, I'm like, you guys have literally never heard anything about what this, you know, when these guys drop the hammer on these things and four alcohol motors are screaming at, you know, at the top of their lungs. And we got done with the first round, and all these kids were staring at each other like it was insane. And actually, the point you guys will like is there was a bunch of drag racers that were at the lot, because obviously they have a drag strip there too that were testing, and they all hauled ass and ran over to watch this. And then every time we'd run them, they would all be staring at each other and just like giggling like 8-year-old girls. Yeah.
Well, I know, Charles, we went down to Louisville, and your wife, she had seen 3-engine mods, but nothing Grand National. No, she hadn't even seen 3-engine.
No,
she'd seen blown mods.
Well, she'd seen the light and limiteds at Fort Recovery, but never a full house.
Never a full house mod. Now, she hasn't even seen the unlimited class yet.
No.
And we're down trackside in Freedom Hall of Louisville, you know, kind of the granddaddy pull of them all, the one you want to be to. And she's got her camera up, and we're like, no, you better put that down.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just plug one ear.
No,
you won't.
She's like, I gotta get pictures of this. I've never seen this before. I'm like, just take it in. Trust me.
And yeah. when those four blown Hemis with 871 blowers, they weren't even the big 1471s like the Unlimiteds, just lit. Her jaw bounced about 14 times off the track. And the best part is she walks over to Charles and goes, we need one.
dude, you picked the right chick. That's freaking awesome. That's great.
She's into it, but she can't help me pay for it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I took, you know, David Freiberg from Roadkill and stuff. He's one of my best friends, and I've known him for like 20 years now. But I took him to the first pole that he ever went to. He had never seen any of this stuff in person. And we were actually up in a land speed race up in northern Maine. Like, at the very top of northern Maine, they run some standing mile land speed stuff. And the main state fair, the Aroostook County Fair, was up there, and they were pulling one of the nights at the fair. So I took him over there, and he was completely blown away. We saw a couple. They didn't have any full blown, you know, they didn't have any of the full kill mods there, but they did have some really nice stuff. And the first impression he got when he saw the first guy hook was like, this is the most brutal dyno pull I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, yes. Like I said the other day when we were messaging back and forth and fell into a hole of talking about pulling and tractors and all that, you know, we say in the sport, we don't go to the dyno to make peak horsepower. We just do it to tune the motors on a load, you know. I go, right. Dyno sheets don't pull.
No.
100% right. 100% right. Yeah, everybody likes to have their hero number on paper, but it really doesn't matter once when the rubber meets the road or the rubber meets the dirt, it really doesn't matter.
When the hook drops, the bullshit stops.
Yep.
That's it, baby. Yeah.
And you know what? He brought up something most people forget about. There's still state-level NTPA pulling in Maine.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Yeah, it's few and far between, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's obviously not as big a scene as other places, but, like, there was a lot of really nice stuff up there. And
I know their Pro Mod four-wheel drive class is fairly decent up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a bunch of awesome Pro Mod four-wheel drives, and that was the class I think David enjoyed the best, too. Because, to me, I love the tractors and stuff, but the four-wheel drive trucks have their own kind of level of crazy to them that's just awesome.
You know, it's something you don't see in a lot of motorsports. I mean, of course, you get down to the door slammer level and that, but, you know, 650, or you go to a PPL class now where it's 800 cubic inch max on these, but not forced induction. It's still naturally aspirated. You're still using them pistons to draw every ounce you can out of them. You know, it's a different class. It's the only class left in pulling that is still naturally aspirated.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, as you guys well know, naturally aspirated means if you're going to make power, it comes from RPM, and RPM is where, you know, RPM is where the fun is. You're sitting there watching or listening to something like this, and the way those guys can zing those big blocks is just freaking crazy. You know, and that was, I think that was the impression. When we left that night, he kept going back to the RPM, especially some of the bigger inch motors, what they were turning the things to. It was a great experience for him, and I'm glad that I was able to kind of bring him into the fold.
Yeah, we know some guys both on the supercharged and the NA side on the pulling track who are not afraid of a five-figure tack number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
I know of one 525 Hemi that they go, yeah, 11,000. That's about where we want to be.
Crazy. I mean, I do some stuff, you know, the Drag Week event that Hot Rod Magazine puts on, and there's a guy that runs that event now that actually has a good one Hemi and a big 700 plus inch job and a 69 Camaro. And, you know, all these guys are like, who's this Goodwin outfit? I'm like, well, you guys obviously have never been around pulling, because obviously those guys build some of the baddest ass stuff out there. So it was cool. And it's cool for Goodwin to get, you know, a little bit of cross exposure too. And that car is ridiculous. It's the quickest naturally aspirated car in the, you know, now 15 year history of that race. So it's really cool.
Good stuff, brother. Hey, We know you're up against a time crunch, so as you were prepared for, heroes and legends, who are some of the people that made Brian Lohnes who he is today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at guys, and to me the thing, I grew up, we didn't have, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, still live there, so there's not a ton of, you know, very high-level pulling going on there, but we have a lot of antique pulls going on, so I used to go to a lot of antique tractor pulls, and I love antique tractors, but it was really guys like, you know, again, being a, you know, mainly a drag race guy, there's so many crossover people. You know, you brought up Ken Denny. You look at guys like EJ Potter back in the day with his Allison tractors. You obviously got to mention Art Arfons when you start this type of a conversation too. But, you know, the validation for pulling for me came from the fact that these people that I totally admired for what they were doing in drag racing, all, you know, those are three guys that left the sport of drag racing and went pulling. And it's like, well, these are brilliant people that have found a new challenge, and a challenge that keeps them up at night staring at the ceiling and trying to figure stuff out. So, you know, those are the type of guys that, to me, not necessarily totally piqued my interest, but those are the guys that made me really appreciate what tractor pulling and truck pulling is, because of the fact that, you know, these guys dominated their fields in drag racing, and they went over to pull, and it was a very hard thing. And you look at Ken Venny, 77 years old, the dude wins Bowling Green last year. Like, how could you not? How could you not just respect a badass guy that's nearly 80 and still out there killing everybody?
I got to tease you a little bit. You really hide your New England accent very well until you say Art Arfons.
Art Arfons.
All right, I got to push the heroes and legend question a little more, because you are a commentator, you are an announcer. What?
Sure.
Who got you interested in doing that? I know Charles and I, we've got our names for that, but, you know, the announcer side's a different thing, or commentator, whatever you want to call ourselves. You know, who formed you into that? Who made you want to get behind that microphone?
For me, you know, I grew up watching the Red Man series on TV. I grew up watching American Sports Cavalcade on TNN. Like, you know, that was that was in many ways like my education for this, you know. So Army Armstrong, Steve Evans, Brett Kepner,
good choices.
Know, yeah,
you know, and those were guys, and amazing. Like, I mean, Steve Evans passed away before I ever had a chance to meet him, but I know his son very well. Brett Kepner is a close friend, and Army Armstrong's a guy that I've spent some time hanging out with, and those were the guys that really were my professors in this, you know, and they still are because of the beauty of YouTube and stuff. You go back and you watch this stuff, and, you know, like you guys, I take pride in being original and never copying people, but you got to learn somewhere, and you go back and watch those guys and how they did it, and the brilliance to me of, like, the Steve Evans and the Brett Kepners and Armstrongs of the world was that they were able to have fun and able to kind of point out the absurdity in some things while still being very respectful to the people in the competition. So to me, that's the key of all of it, where if you can go out there and go, yes, this is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life, but also still give it the respect it deserves and try to educate people on it, I think that's what people enjoy. At least I hope it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll keep me employed for a while.
A perfect example of that is the old footage of Steve Evans, Brock Yates, and Paul Page covering the mud buggy racing in Florida.
Yes.
And that is literally the perfect example. Like, they had so much freaking fun, but they were not making fun of the competitors. They were not making fun of their machinery. They were ultra respectful to the and they treated it like it should have been treated. They treated it like a race, and it was a race. And those guys were there running their shit as hard as they could get it to go and trying as hard as they could go. So, yeah, that is literally the most perfect example you can give, where if they wanted to go down there and make fun of the guys for, you know, not having teeth or make fun of the way something was welded together, they could have done that. But that's not what they were about. They were about enjoying what they were seeing and making you enjoy it too. And yeah, totally love that.
Well, Brian, I know you're up against it. You got to go do some NHRA work, which of course pays the bills, because I know this check we sent you for coming on tonight is going to bounce about as sky high as it can get. So, should have told him that.
It's a plumber, man. Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Don't worry, if that one bounces, I can write you another one just like it.
But no, man, I apologize for being short, but I would love to come back on if you're ever totally lacking for guests in your podcast.
No.
If you're up against it, you're like, let's just call that moron back. But no, I would love to be back on. And actually, kind of a cool quick story was when I got down here, we're racing in Virginia this weekend, and we're actually staying a couple miles up from Colonial Heights. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Keystone Truck and Tractor Museum here. I'm not giving them a plug, they're not paying me any of it, but it's like, this dude, it's a private collection that is open as a public museum, but he's got 300 tractors, 300 restored farm tractors in there, and he's got 100 restored vintage big rigs.
Yeah, and I saw the pictures on your Facebook page, man. And by the way, fuck you. Yeah.
I understand you needed a bib to catch all the tears and snot. And...
Yeah, I walked in the room and started crying, and the lady that was like the lady at the front desk asked if I was okay, you know. But, dude, you walk in there, and you know, I don't know if you guys are, you know, vintage tractor guys now, but you walk in there, and the first thing you see is a Minimo UDLX. Like
there's one right here on our wall in front
right
of us in the studio.
Right here.
I had never seen one in person. The closest I had ever come to seeing one of those things is in the pages of a book. And you walk in there, and it's sitting front and center, and it's obviously it's gorgeous, and they got it all opened up, and you can kind of stick your face in there and look around, and it's like
we've seen one of the UDLXs in person, and of all places for me to see one for the first time, Charles was there too.
Yep,
was what 3 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago now, at Detroit's Autorama, they had one on the top floor.
Wow.
Yeah, with all the chip foos and all the high fancy high dollar rigs.
Yeah,
yeah, there was a UDLX sitting there.
Riddler contender, Riddler contender, Riddler contender, Minneapolis Moline, Riddler contender.
They had, and the guys got everything, man. It's like, it literally doesn't matter what you like. Like, it's not, it's very, the collection goes from, he's got a 1917 Titan in there. He's got all kinds of stuff, like from weird one-off stuff to... You know, of course, he's got a bunch of, you know, he's got a bunch of John Deere stuff. He's got Olivers, he's got Internationals, he's got Farmalls, he's got Ferguson. I mean, if you can name a make, even if the make only made 50 examples, he probably has one in there. And he's got a couple of competition tractors in there as well, so it's cool.
Nice.
Well, Brian, we're not going to tie you up anymore, buddy. Yeah, we're going to get you on very, very soon again, because I know this conversation, we just barely breached the top, and there's a lot more to come, because, I mean, we want to talk drag race, and we want to talk bank shift. We want to talk pulling and tractors and trucks and everything, because we cover anything with a motor in it anymore, and you seem to be a guy with the same interests, so.
Yeah, man, if it makes it steam, I love all that shit, so yeah, I'm down. I'm down whenever you guys want.
The only person we might cut you for is getting Jay Leno on, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. But
I totally understand.
So, Brian, thanks for coming in on again, and hope to hear from you soon, buddy.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
This is Sidetracked. We'll be right back in just a moment, presented by Dirty Hooker Diesel.
By the time I finish this fucking thing, I'll be out of a job.
And we're back with Sidetrack powered by DHD, and great interview with Brian Lonas. It was awesome having him on. Unfortunately, not nearly long enough, but we'll have him back on soon.
For sure.
You could tell he was having to hold back the chain just a little bit. He was ready to roll, but I don't think
he's hard to get started.
No, I get it. You know, you work for NHRA doing a dream job. That's what he's paid to do.
Yeah.
And, of course, keep a bank shift going, you know. I mean, he's living the dream that I know I'd love to be able to do.
I would trade shoes with him in a heartbeat.
It you know, a lot of time on the road, we get that. Well, me of all people definitely can understand that. I mean, my GPS is already pushing 5 digits for the year, and I haven't even gotten started, really, so. But thank you, Brian Lonas, for taking your time out, and thank you all you fans who keep staying with us. You know, we're getting back into it. We were getting burned out, and this show, Charles, we've already talked. It feels good.
This one felt good because it just
had
happened.
Material.
It had material, and it just happened. We had taken some time away. I'm still a little burned out. I'm going to be honest with you. My creative, it's gone. It's gone. But I know what I need to do. This isn't the first time.
And that's just it, you know. People go, well, you're here representing the sport, and you're here to promote the sport.
But I'm not going
to
phone it
in.
Yes. I'm not going to phone it in
for you. To an extent, yes, we are here for that. But first and foremost, we're here for our own enjoyment. And whether or not you listen to us is not going to stop whether or not why we record shows. We do this because we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to remember, and that's what we got to stay focused on. And we'll be bringing you shows. Can I guarantee weekly? No, but I'll guarantee we're going to keep the shows coming out.
We're going to keep doing it. If that's never been in doubt, it'll be when we have something to say.
Absolutely. And you know, it might be weekly, it might be bi-weekly, it might be once a month, depending on where we're at and how our lives sit. Cause you know what? We do have lives outside of this.
I can tell you right now, next week we'll probably do a show. The week after, we absolutely will not do a show because we are going to be at tracks all over the state. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. You more than me for once.
Yeah. Actually, I think I've got, within a 7-day stretch, I think I hit like 5 places.
Yeah. You actually have more than me that for once in a week. So it's going to be a different thing, but part of being the Sidetrack crew. And thank you guys for sticking with us. And on behalf of everybody who's a part of this, thank you guys. Thank you. We keep our dream rolling, and our sponsors help keep us able to keep the lights on, so to speak, as we sit in the dark.
I keep the lights off. It took me almost a year, but I finally trained the other two guys in my office to keep the damn lights off all day. I hate the lights being on.
So with that, my name's Armstead.
My name is Posh.
Good night.
Sidetracked is recorded live before a dead studio audience. Tonight's episode is recorded at the Second Baptist Bar and Grill, where occupants may or may not have consumed alcoholic beverages. Retransmission of Sidetracked in whole or in part without express written consent of Sidetracked is expressly prohibited. Who gives a shit? You're going to do it anyway. We'll be right back.
Awesome.